If you want to go even deeper and get exclusive access to additional resources, weekly live streams, and a community of growth-minded e-commerce business owners, then you need to join the E-Commerce Alley Facebook group by going to alleypodcast.com/group. There's a bit more than 2,000 of us there, and I'd love to see you there as well.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Alley podcast, where we believe that great brands are built on passionate leadership, smart operations, and of course, powerful marketing. I'm your host, Josh Coffey, and I'm grateful that you're hanging out with me in this episode, listening or watching right now. So what I want to talk about in this episode is our secret Swiss Army knife strategy for really helping brands scale on the advertising side of things. So if you're having trouble getting your ads to work and you want some direction, well, I'm gonna tell you step one right now. The evergreen product funnel, my friend, is what you need. Every business needs a solid 1 to 2 entry points for new customer acquisition. Now, you may have more than that as you grow, but for the most part, you just need 1 to 2 solid entry points of new customer acquisition that is predictable for you. Because if you don't, it will be very difficult to scale your advertising efforts. Now, here's what I mean by that. So often, you know, we've all learned this, the old way of running campaigns. And this is what I also call the stressful, can't sleep because my campaigns are eating me alive and I check my ads manager while I'm hanging out with my family and have a bad night strategy. So what I see all the time, and I'll tell you what, it's not your fault. I've done this. We all do this. And what we do is we introduce too many variables in our advertising that lead us to a place where we don't know what's working and we know that there's stuff that's working or not working, but we don't know why or what specifically that is. And here's why. Here's what we all used to do and we might still be doing right now. Maybe you're doing this. You have, and I'm going to break down a Facebook ad campaign here. So you might be running advertising. And you might say, and here's one thing real quick, I will specify. This is for Facebook advertising because Google is much different. Google is intent-based. Facebook is interest-based. And so intent-based means they're looking for your products. And so you could have different entry points from there. But on the Facebook side, you need a solid entry point as your core. I mean, I would even argue in Google, for the most part, you also need that in like search ads, YouTube ads, shopping ads are a little different, but you do need a solid entry point of new customer acquisition that you know every day I have orders coming in. And so tangent off, let's go back. So if we're looking at a campaign structure, this is what I've done this for years, or I used to do this for years, and so many people I talk to do this still. And that's where you create a campaign. You say, hey, I want to drive purchases, and I have 112 products, and I love them all equally, just like my kids, right? I don't have any favorites. So I'm going to pick 5 of these products, and I'm going to create some different targeting, different ad sets, and I'm going to take 5 or 10 of these products, and each one will be a different ad. So I make a different headline, primary text, creative for product 1, and then a different ad for product 2, a different ad for product 3, and then let's say I have 5 to 10 ads. And then I take all those ads, and I run all those ads under that ad set to a particular audience. Audience 1, right? I run it to that. And then I have another audience. And then I run all those 10 ads to audience number 2. And then I have a third audience. I run all those ads to audience number 3. And so that's how we often will structure campaigns because we love all our kids equally. We're like, hey, I want to drive sales to my newest product. I want to drive sales to this product because this is kind of like the first one that I did and I really, really like it. And so we drive campaign dollars to all these different products. And then in audience 1, in ad set 1 of Facebook, suddenly product 2 and 3 are doing really, really well and the rest are just sucking. And then to audience 2, products 7 and 8 are doing really, really well and the rest are just sucking. Then audience 3, products 1 and 10 are doing really, really well and the rest are just sucking. You get the idea, right? And so at this point, you open up your ads manager and you say, okay, well, what's working and what's not working? Well, is it the audience that's working is audience one working for products two and three and not everything else? Is it the audience that's the issue? Is it the creative that's the issue? Is it the headline? Is it the primary text? Is it the product? Is it the landing page of the product? Is it the fact that this product has no reviews and this one has 192 reviews? Like, what are the variables? Well, here's the problem is you have exponentially too many variables to be able to analyze to have any substantial data to make decisions. That's the truth. So what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes unless you're driving. Unless you're driving a Tesla, then I guess you can for a little bit. I want you to close your eyes and imagine what if all you had to do was focus on one product, that product page, the cop, the headline, the primary text, and the creatives for one product, finding the audiences for one product. Imagine if you just had to do it for one particular product. Well, by doing this, this is going to give you the ability to scale. It means you're not going to have to constantly be creating new ads. If you're trying to run ads to 10 different products, well, you have to create ads for 10 different products. You have to test audiences for 10 different products. You have to see if you can improve those product pages, worry about getting reviews on those. But what if you only had to worry about getting reviews on one product, ads for one product, finding those audiences for one product, refining that single product funnel? Well, this is what I call an evergreen product funnel. And if you can laser focus on one product to start, and then you can start, if you want to start scaling horizontally, you can start adding more of these. But I want you to focus on one, because with one, you can grow your business substantially. And so if you could focus on this with laser focus, it will allow you to very quickly identify bottlenecks, and you can unblock them versus having to run tons of campaigns to tons of different products, with tons of different audiences, with tons of different ads, and then sit there with a mess in your hands and say, I don't know what is what. And that's where we don't want to be. And so often that's where we get in the ads manager. So we want to remain focused in our advertising. And the best way to do that in Facebook, and I would argue in many places, is to have that solid point of entry point of new customer acquisition, that solid entry point that you can absolutely master. So an EPF, an evergreen product funnel, serves three core purposes. All right. Now, purpose number one is predictability. You know, with a single entry point, you'll be able to make adjustments to something I call the four EPF dials, which I'm going to cover in a little bit. You'll be able to make adjustments to these four dials and predictably increase the rate of new customer acquisition, as well as predictably forecast your inventory much better. Because that's the other thing. If you're running for 10 products, and one product takes off in this one, and another product takes off in another one, you don't have any, it's really difficult to predictably forecast your inventory. But what if you only need to forecast inventory primarily for one product? You know, hey, this is constantly producing 50 orders every single day. It's producing it predictably every day. So every month, it averages out to 50 orders to this particular product. Well, how much more predictability does that give us? Because if I say, okay, well, I want to add 50% to my ad spend in the next month, knowing the numbers that I'm accomplishing and that I'm getting 50 orders a day, well, I know, okay, well, then I can know that in the next month, I'm going to start getting 75 orders. So it gives you predictability. That's purpose number one, is predictability. And EPF gives you predictability. The second purpose is efficiency. You know, if you're going to spend $1,000 a day and produce the same ROAS across all your campaigns, would you rather have one campaign with one product or a campaign with 10 products? You know, like, let's just imagine for a second that Josh Coffey knocked on your door and said, hey, I'm going to front your ad spend. I'm going to give you $1,000 a day for ads. And then I will guarantee 3x return on ad spend every day by the end of the day. So I'm going to put in the $1,000 for you, and I'm going to give you $3,000. I'm going to give the $3,000 out every day, but you can run it to as many products as you want. I don't care if it's one or it's 100 products. You're going to get 3x return on ad spend no matter what you do. Well, would you say, okay, that's awesome, Josh. I want to run 100 different campaigns, or I want to run, have 100 different ads. Or would you rather say, oh, easy, here's one ad, here's one product. I would hope that you would pick one, because if you could, all things being equal, if you can produce the same outcome, which is typically return on ad spend and profits, if you could produce the same profits at the end of the day, would you rather do it through one or through 10? Well, hopefully one, because 10 takes 10 times more work as far as investing time in figuring out the ads, figuring out the audiences, and then mastering that customer journey for those 10 different products. And so this will save you heaps of time. If you have an EPF and you're really, really focused, you can produce the outcome you want, but you can be focused on that instead of making small progress in a lot of different directions. So the second purpose is efficiency. Now, the third purpose of an evergreen product funnel is stability. You know, once your EPF is producing a break-even or a target return on ad spend consistently, it will then allow you to begin testing other marketing activities, running new, something I call promo sprints. You could introduce new products. You could test different things without having to worry about juggling two unknowns at once and without having to worry about how well those do or not. You know, like think about this. If you had, I like to use the number 50. So if I have 50 orders coming in a day from this evergreen product funnel, and I know that's, you know, that's my rock, right? That's just every day that's coming in. That gives me the stability. And I feel good. Now I'm like, okay, well, if I go test a new product line, and I say, oh, I just introduced this. I want to see if this has any legs. And I'm going to run some preliminary ad campaigns. And then if it doesn't do as well as I thought, I don't have a whole lot riding on it, then I'll feel a lot better because I know I have 50 orders coming in a day over here from the evergreen product funnel. But if that wasn't working and I'm constantly living in this state of testing and testing and testing, that is the most expensive state to live in. And that's really stressful because then you have a lot riding on whether or not every little thing works or not. And so if you have a stability inside your evergreen product funnel, then you'll feel less bad when you go to test new things because, again, testing is the most expensive stage of marketing. Testing is just literally figuring out what works and what doesn't work. It's expensive. And so if you had stability, you wouldn't feel as bad during that. You would feel a lot more confident during those testing phases because you know you have consistent flow. So those are the three purposes of the evergreen product funnel: predictability, efficiency, and stability. That's really why you need them. Now, once you've decided, hey, this is the product that I'm going to roll with, or I decided, hey, Josh, this makes sense. I do need to figure out what my evergreen product funnel is going to look like. Well, there are four. Then at this point, there are four dials that you can tweak, that you can adjust. And by adjusting these four dials, you will increase your flow of new customer acquisition as well as your profits and your average order value and things like that. And so there are four dials you could turn, and there are different ways to turn these, but I'm going to kind of give you the high level here. So dial number one you can turn in evergreen product funnel is the product, right?
Hey guys, Dylan here, producer of the E-Commerce Alley podcast. Just a short interruption here to ask you a quick favor. We hope you're enjoying this episode of the podcast. And if you are, or if you've been a listener for a while, it would mean the world to us if you dropped a review wherever you're listening. We love seeing how this podcast is impacting people's businesses, and it helps this podcast get in the hands of other people who may need it as well. Thank you for leaving a review and for your continued support. Let's get back to the podcast.
You can change the product or choose a different, you could change the product, introduce a new product, and you could adjust the product to tweak your evergreen product funnel. So if one product, we literally just had this as a situation. We had a t-shirt for a client that used to do really, really well. And so we had an evergreen product funnel running for it. And then it just got to a point of just fatigue. The shirt wasn't doing well anymore. And so we can keep trying to like drill into something that can't be drilled into. Like we could keep trying to push into that, even though it's like pushing against a brick wall, or we could just tweak the dial of that product to find the next one. And usually once you get an evergreen product funnel, these will last for a really, really long time. Meaning the goal of this is evergreen, right? Evergreen is all year round. We want predictability, stability, and efficiency. And so because of that, we don't want to pick a product that is seasonal, right? We don't want to pick a product that is like, oh, this is only relevant during Christmas time. Because as soon as January hits, you're going to have to go back to the drawing board. So the goal with an EPF is to find a product that is a strong entry point that can be evergreen. And that if you're like placing orders, that you're not having to worry about, oh, the supplier only offers this during summer. We don't want to do that. Like if you're an apparel company, you don't want to sell swimwear as an evergreen product funnel. That could be run as what I call a promo sprint, which I had another podcast I recently released on that. That would be a promo sprint. It's a shorter duration campaign. So evergreen, you probably already know this if you have data, if you've been in business, right? This is typically our top selling products year round. So if you go and you run a report over the last year, you'll see what your top selling product or collection is. And so I want you to then select that product based on the data. But let's say you don't have the data. Let's say you're brand new. You just started. You don't have enough in sales to really substantially say anything. Then what you're probably going to do is begin with your gut. Say, hey, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to go with what I see in the marketplace, what I see my competitors doing. Go with your gut. And here's the thing. If the product sucks, the market's going to tell you. And then you're just going to have to adjust this dial number one, your product. You have to tweak that. Like I just said, we just did that for a client. It happens. It's a reality. And so sometimes you'll just have to tweak the product and say, okay, I thought it was this, but the market told me it wasn't this. So I now need to adjust it. And I will make a quick note here. As far as your entry point, we have an entry point typically of a single product or a collection of products. For the most part, I'm gonna say like 95% of the time, the product is the best entry point because people will go to the product, they'll add it, and then they'll go find other things. Collections are just an additional step they have to do. They go to the collection and they have to scroll and they have to click into that thing. And so we see products do better than collections, but some brands do better by leading straight to the collections. And so just wanted to give that quick note there. So if you're thinking like, oh, mine, like Josh, I sell coffee with different origins. And rather than focusing on a single origin like Ethiopian or something like that, I want to focus on all the origins and just the quality of the coffee and the roasting and all of this stuff. You can send them to a collections page. That makes sense. But for most people, we see it's best, even apparel brands, it's best to just send straight to the actual product page. So that's dial number one. Now, dial number two is the ad, right? So with your EPF product chosen, you now need to go and you need to test as many ads as you can to find out what will go the distance and what will bring in the right traffic that can actually buy. And so with your ad, the reason this is dial number two is because we see ads have a greater impact on our campaigns than audiences. It used to be like you could have a mediocre ad and have really great audiences and it would do fine. But now it's like, oh no, we actually need to have stellar, excellent, top of the line ads that will then go the distance in really broad audiences, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So if you can get your ad to go from like a 1% to a 2% or a 2 to a 4% click-through rate, you could double your return on ad spend with the same level of spend. And so with ads, they consist of three core elements that we are constantly testing. We test the headline, the creative, and the primary text. And now we use a process for this. We call it the Ad Lab method. Actually, we have a boot camp on this. So if you want to go to alleypodcast.com/bootcamp, depending on how far in the future you're listening, if you're listening in 10 years, who knows, maybe it's not there anymore. But if you go to alleypodcast.com/bootcamp, it'll forward you to a page. Few bucks and you'll be able to learn our ad lab method. And I think it's like 6 hours of training or something like that. So we do this through rapid experimentation, through an ad lab method, but it consists of three elements, your headline, your primary text, and your creative. And once you figure these out, you've unlocked ads. And this is the dial you can turn. You will constantly always be adjusting these dials, by the way, and fighting for better results. So dial number one, you could change your product. Dial number two, you could tweak your ads. Dial number three is the audience. These are the people that we're targeting with those ads. And so an evergreen product funnel is meant to go all year round and it's built for cold traffic. Again, new customer acquisition. So your job is to find as many of those targetable audiences as possible that will produce a consistent high return on ad spend. And so once you've identified these within your EPF, and you will constantly be testing and finding new audiences, as you identify these, you'll be able to start scaling up your budget. And this is where you unlock a whole new level of growth. Once you have your product, your ads, and your audience, then you can unlock this enormous trajectory for your business, all right? So audience is the third dial. And you know, this is something you're gonna turn consistently. I like to think of this like mining for gold. It's really mining for cash if you think about it. So it's kind of like mining for cash. And you know, if you were mining for cash and you ended up digging up a treasure chest that had $100,000 in it, and you knew that there are other treasure chests to be found, would you just stop and say, okay, this is it? Well, no, eventually you'll use all the cash in there and you'll take that $100,000 and hopefully go invest it, but you'll have the $100,000 and eventually it's gonna run out, right? So would you stop mining for cash or mining for gold? No, you'd probably continue mining for gold, right? This is an ongoing process and audiences are the same thing. You wanna consistently try to find audiences because eventually audiences do fatigue. All right, so this is the third dial. You can adjust and find those audiences. Now, the fourth and final dial, so we have our product, we can adjust. We have our ads, we can adjust. We have our audiences, we can adjust. And the final thing is our landing page. This is usually a product page, a collection page, or an individualized like long-form sales page, depending on what your product is and how you have this built out. And this is often an overlooked step in advertising. Our goal for us internally is we aim for a 2% or higher cold traffic conversion rate. So from Facebook cold traffic and our EPF, we want to get 2% or higher. That's usually our goal. Now, it can be lower if you have higher ticket products. It all varies based on your business. However, we're always shooting for 2%. But we can use conversion rate optimization, or CRO, if you're a marketing speak person. We can use CRO to fight for better results of our EPF. And so there are a lot of ways to improve our results, right? We can improve the ads, improve our click-through rate. We can also improve the conversion rate on the page once people get there. There's so many levers you can pull. And so this is one of those, or dials you can turn. So this is one of those dials. You can adjust your landing page. You can improve the landing page. And to be honest, the reason landing page is dial number four is because this dial becomes more important as your traffic grows. You know, if you're only doing 5,000 visitors a month, or even less than 10,000 visitors a month, this dial isn't going to make an insane difference for you on a single product page. You know, if you're getting 500 visits on a, just let's just use your EPF. If your EPF gets, let's say, 1,000 visits, for simple math for Josh Coffee here, 1,000 visits, if you increase it by a 0.1% click-through rate, well, you're only going to increase it by one order per month. Is that really worth it? It depends on how much time you're putting into it. Like, so it'll make an impact, but not a huge impact. But when your ad spend is higher and you're driving 10,000 visitors or 50,000 visitors a month to one page, 10,000 visitors, you get, by increasing by only 0.1% conversion rate, you're going to get 10 new orders. And if your AOV is $75, that's $750 added to your bottom line or added to your sales without doing anything else. So if you just tweak that by 0.1%, but what happens if you can tweak it by 0.5%? Well, things start to climb pretty quickly. And so that's why this is dial number four. This is one of the last things, because as you're going through the first three dials, you'll be able to start scaling. You'll be able to start seeing those profits flow through. And then dial number four is that final dial that you can lean in. You could do things like heat mapping. You can start looking at behavioral flow inside Google Analytics. You can start analyzing the data of your customers and really fine tuning it. You can begin doing A/B split testing. You know, if you use Shopify, two tools I recommend, number one, Gem Pages, and number two, Shogun. And they will allow you to do A/B testing even on product page level. So you can test product page A versus product page B. It's the same product page. We just make minor tweaks to say, hey, can we get a better conversion rate? And so when you get here, you could be testing different shipping breakpoints. You could test different product price. You can get more reviews. You can focus on a product page layout. You can improve the product page copy. You can test bundling. You can test upsells. You can test downsells. There are a lot of things in this, once they get to that landing page and even a little bit beyond that process of checking out, that you can begin to adjust. And by adjusting these, you'll start to see huge increase in the results you're accomplishing within your evergreen product funnel. So just to kind of recap all of this, the Evergreen Product Funnel serves three purposes: predictability in your business, efficiency in your marketing, and stability in your sales. So those are the three things. And then there are four dials. The product dial is number one. Dial number two is the ad that you can adjust. Dial number three are the audiences that you target with those ads. And dial number four is the landing page. So where do you go with this? Well, I have homework for you, and this is my advice. If you're listening to this and you're like, Josh, this makes so much sense. I've been just lobbing all kinds of stuff against the wall, hoping something sticks. I need to focus in on my efforts. So what I want you to do is I want you to take some time, go in and look at your existing dashboard and your analytics of your sales and determine what your evergreen product is. All right, I want you to figure out, hey, what is this single entry point that I'm going to focus on that will produce new customers, new orders every single day in my business, that I can work on the ads for that. I can work on the audiences for that. I can work on the landing page for that and start to adjust those dials so that I can make progress in my business and not feel like I'm always waiting around for organic to actually work and do something for me. So that is your action item, my friend. Determine your evergreen product funnel and then start to maneuver your campaigns around that funnel. But you have been listening to the E-Commerce Alley podcast. I hope you found this valuable. I love EPFs. It has transformed so many campaigns that we've done from unprofitable into profitable and helped our clients along the way. This has been produced by the legendary Dylan Counts. And as always, thank you for being our listener.